Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There's the obvious Goliath of lust that every guy faces, and there's the Goliath of pride and the Goliath of anger. The Goliath that's actually mentioned in the Bible in the story of David and Goliath is the Goliath of fear, which I actually believe is the bottom line struggle that every man has, and kind of other issues flow out of that. But most of us, you know, we just, we're afraid to say we're afraid.
At last we will have revenge.
This is a battle I do not think that we can win.
Before the little interlude there from Star Wars, you heard from pastor and author J.P. Jones, and he had some very, very powerful and poignant things to say, unfortunately, about guys and fear. How do we face those Goliaths in our life, those giants in our world, head on? How can we conquer those fears? Well, today on the Homeward broadcast, pastor and author J.P. Jones is in studio with us, and he'll be having a conversation with Dr. Jim Burns about how you can do just that. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family, here on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. We're actually in Jim's office today, having a conversation with J.P. Jones, and we thank you for the ability to be able to record these interviews, to broadcast them all over the radio and through podcasting because of your prayers and faithful financial support. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Happy to be with you today. J.P. Jones, a friend of mine, is with us today. He's the senior pastor of Crossline Church here in Southern California. He's got a great congregation. I was just there the other day speaking to some mops, and I love this church. He's a popular speaker. He's an adjunct professor of biblical studies at Biola University. And he and his wonderful wife, Donna, who's been on our program, have been married for nearly 30 years. They have three children. They make their home in Orange County, California. J.P., it's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
So you wrote a book called Facing Goliath. It's a book actually for men. Now, we have a lot of women who listen, and they're going to want to listen to this conversation as well. And I really feel like, as I read the book, I felt like what you did was you nailed it with men issues. And men have a lot of, you know, more or less Goliath issues. There was a season in my life when I was speaking for Promise Keepers, and I found that that kind of an event had men coming, and then they'd be really honest. And you know, they were struggling with so many issues. I mean, the issues of lust, the issues of fear, all these things that you focus on this. You actually use an Old Testament reference, kind of the David and Goliath. You know, your book is called Facing Goliath, and I highly recommend it. And it's interesting because you said if Hollywood were to make a film of the Old Testament, it definitely wouldn't be a romantic comedy.
Wouldn't be a chick flick.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Men relate to some of this stuff. Why did you say that?
Well, I think most men kind of in their own gut kind of have a sense of the battle, the warfare, competition,
yeah,
sports,
right,
all that stuff. And there's tons in the Bible about that. A lot of men have never seen that before, but you know, there's tons of these great stories in the Old Testament, and this story of David and Goliath, it's found in 1 Samuel, is one of those stories. A lot of people have heard about it because it's this classic battle of the smaller guy and the big guy. But, you know, it's more than a Sunday school story. It's a real metaphor for life.
Yeah, and what you say is there are Goliaths in life that men are facing. Women face Goliaths too, obviously. But what are some of the Goliaths that you see men facing today that are really keeping them from, you know, growing in their faith with God, but also just, you know, becoming, you know, masculine men who love life and go for it?
Right. Well, there's the obvious Goliath of lust that every guy faces.
Right.
And there's the Goliath of pride and the Goliath of anger. The Goliath that's actually mentioned in the Bible in the story of David and Goliath is the Goliath of fear, which I actually believe is the bottom line struggle that every man has, and kind of other issues flow out of that. But most of us, you know, we just, we're afraid to say we're afraid.
Yeah. Right. Now, let's just unpack some of those. I want to talk about some of those issues with you today. Thought life. You know, men struggle with thought life. All men struggle with thought life. If they don't, they're probably, you know, not telling the truth. What kind of advice do you give to somebody who says, you know, my thought life is getting out of control, it's getting out of hand?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There is a promise in the New Testament about our identity in Christ. I guess that's where it has to begin. If a man's a follower of Christ, he's become a new creature. That's what the Bible says. And part of that newness is we have a disciplined mind or a sound mind. We actually have, because of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, the capacity to take ownership of our thoughts. And then there's all these scriptures that kind of command us to do so. So having a disciplined mind or having control in our thought life, one, a guy needs to realize he's been empowered to do that. He's got the right stuff to be able to do it. And then to realize how important it actually is, because all these, you know, our behavior begins with a thought. So there's some kind of thought that leads to an action, whether it's a lustful thought or a prideful thought or a fearful thought or an anxious thought. It starts there, then we entertain it, and then it creates an emotional response, and then it works itself out in an action.
What makes it so tough? I was with some men. We were actually at a baseball game. I grew up here in Orange County, so it was some guys from my baseball team who we all got back together, and I don't get to hang out with them as much as they do. They're there all the time. And I'm looking at these men, and I'm thinking they're not necessarily strong Christians, but great guys. And they were incredibly disciplined in sports, and in their business and life, they're very disciplined. But I could tell, we had dinner ahead of time, I could tell that their thought life wasn't disciplined. So it was hard for them. It was kind of a disconnect. Discipline in many areas, very successful with work, actually very successful in the sports side. When it came to their thought life, I could see it was just all over. How do you do that? How do you discipline your mind like that?
Well, it takes ownership. You've got to recognize the problem, you know, and then you've got to say, okay, where can I get a solution? And that's what God's word, why God's word is so practical, because there is a solution. You know, there's a passage in the book of Romans where Paul says the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So we need to understand those are the parameters we're really dealing with, life and death, because when our thought life is out of control, like you said, it just really affects our relationships, our self-worth, and our whole sense of identity. On the other hand, when we have our minds under control and yielded to God's spirit, the fruit of the spirit's produced in our thoughts and our behavior.
You know, another Goliath, which goes along with this, is what you called intellectual doubt. And I think a lot of men don't talk enough about this. I mean, their wives don't tend, I mean, no, I'm generalizing like crazy, but a lot of their wives don't tend to have as strong of intellectual type doubt. And men do. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine at my church who's, he's a scientist and he thinks deeper thoughts, and he kind of says, well, it's almost, you know, girls' way of doing life is what we do at our church. Our pastor is a wonderful pastor. He speaks the word of God. He does a great job. But he kind of sees it as kind of girly. Church is girly. Talk about that kind of a person who's struggling with intellectual doubt, but doesn't seem to see anything for him at church.
Well, just on that point that you made, you remember the old movie Chariots of Fire about Eric Little, the runner? There's a line in the beginning of the movie where when Eric is being challenged to run, and the guy encouraging him, the pastor says, what the world needs is a muscular Christian. Mm. Yeah, you see, some churches kind of have that identity. Muscular Christianity, and others don't. Men are attracted to muscular Christianity, and especially in the area of our intellectual muscularity, so to speak. You know, we all have doubts, we all have fears, we all have questions. That's normal. In fact, healthy doubt can really drive us to find God and grow in conviction. God says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So if a man takes his doubts and drives, and that drives him to kind of do a search for truth, he's going to find it. But, you know, I learned long ago, my heart can't rejoice in what my mind rejects. So I've spent my entire adult life studying the scripture, studying theology, studying philosophy, so that, you know, I am convinced that Christianity isn't a blind leap of faith. It's an intelligent step of commitment. And the Bible calls us to live by faith, but it's always faith based in the evidence, not faith in spite of the evidence. So I love those kind of questions with men, because I just challenge them to take that doubt and channel it towards investigating the truth. And there's tons of truth to be discovered. And one of the things I point out in my book, the most fantastic truth of Christianity, which is the truth that really alleviates all doubts, is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you can understand that that really happened, it's an historical fact, then you come to grips with the fact that I'm dealing with a God who can raise the dead. Therefore, any miraculous issue that I got to figure out is no problem, because God's already demonstrated the fact that he can raise the dead, so he can change my life.
Yeah, so that's a bigger hurdle than, or a bigger Goliath, as you would talk about. I underlined in your book, you said the way to strengthen faith is to study up on the facts. And I'm convinced that a lot of people don't take the time or the energy to study up on the facts, and you're saying, no, do it.
No, really do it. And in fact, in my conversations with men, and I talk to men all the time, you know, I joke with my church, I have my jacuzzi conversations, because, you know, I've worked out, I'm sitting in a jacuzzi, and guys are just talking, and it's like, people don't think I'm a pastor, I'm just a guy sitting there. People have a lot of questions that they voice as doubts, but they're really excuses. And there's a difference between a real doubt and an excuse. So I just challenge guys to say, hey, if you've got a doubt, search the truth. If you've got an excuse, get over it and deal with the truth.
Yeah, great, great input. We don't have much time left, but I want to get into one more Goliath, and we'll take it after the break. But the Goliath of fear, you know, it's interesting because if you're around a lot of guys, a lot of times you don't see fear. They're not going to express fear. But I was very intrigued by what you wrote about and the fact that, you know, men have that as a major fear. Talk about that. Unpack that for me.
Well, I think, and this is somewhat of what kind of identifies us as men, we all deal with fear. And I think one of the great roles that a man has in imparting something to his children, especially to his sons, is courage. It's one of the greatest things I've prayed for my son since the day he was born. Because courage isn't the absence of fear, it's surrendering our fears to God and stepping out in spite of our fears. So we all deal with fears, and it's a matter of surrendering those to God and finding the courage that he has. David, in the story of David and Goliath, I mean, he was a guy, he saw that Goliath was the biggest man who ever lived. He heard the taunts. He recognized that Goliath was scary, but his confidence was in God, and in spite of his human fears, he stepped out in faith and faced the real Goliath. It's the same principle for us as men. We acknowledge our fears, we recognize them, we understand though that God is bigger than anything we face, and we surrender our life to God, our fears to God, and then he gives us the courage to step out in faith.
Great, great, great stuff. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. JP Jones with us. He's the senior pastor of a great church, by the way. If you live anywhere in South Orange County or in Orange County, Crossline Church, Southern California, it's a great church. Roger, it's interesting to me that he was talking about courage. And one of the things I underlined in his book was courage is not the absence of fear, as JP said, but courage is trusting God in spite of our fears. I think that's a great comment. And we'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward. Don't go away.
JP Jones with us today here on the Homeward broadcast, the author of the book Facing Goliath. And we've got that up on our website today at homeward.com. And JP and his wife, Donna, both have been regular guests here on the Homeward broadcast because of their very practical approach to ministry. And if you're a guy listening to this right now, you have our permission to say, you know, no guy wants to be afraid of being afraid. But this is the way you deal with those fears. And it's so important when you think about your relationship with your spouse, if you're married, with your kids, if you have children, your coworkers. I mean, how we stand up to these things that are Goliaths in our lives, that these giants that we just can't seem to get past. JP's got some good insight, and we recommend his book. We've got it up on our website today at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
It's really not so bad, Bill.
Hey, but this is the third time this year, Raj. Hey. It sounds to me like your drinking is keeping you from holding down a job.
No, it's just a bit of bad luck. That's all. I just happen to work for three of the biggest jerks in the world. But you know what? I'm going to bounce back.
Raj, it sounds like you really need some help.
No, Bill, really. I'm fine.
And quick.
I'm sure this will blow over eventually, really.
I've never understood why so many of us wait so long before asking for help when we really need it. Now, if you're a parent, your kids are watching to see how you deal with the pain in your life. And if they see you not dealing with it, well, it could have an impact upon their faith later in life. Don't wait until life is impossible. Get the help of a counselor, a trusted friend, a pastor, and do it before the issue you're confronting gets too complicated. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Help for Finding Help, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation day with J.P. Jones. We're talking about facing your giants head on. And J.P., as Roger has just mentioned, has written a great book. It's called Facing Goliath, How a Man Overcomes His Giants to Follow Christ. And J.P., one of the people in my life who I would say speaks the best to men, but also is a wonderful pastor. I point all kinds of people, because he's a pastor in our area, to his church, and just think the world of his church. It's called Crossline Church. And again, I would suggest strongly, if you're in the area, you're looking for a church, you know, check it out. JP, a lot of times as young boys, we're taught, you know, walk like a man, you know, talk like a man. But oftentimes that's not really on a spiritual side. It's more on a kind of a prideful side. Talk about that.
And we're not really even sure what that really means.
No.
For me as a kid growing up, that meant be like John Wayne.
Yeah.
Or be like Jim Kirk from the original Star Trek series, right. Or James West from Wild Wild West. These are, right. For all our younger audience, these are old TV shows that you may ask your parents about.
But, exactly.
That's really true. You know, we have this mental picture of what a man looks like, and we try to emulate it. And, you know, I tell the guys in my church, you know, it's not trying to be a Christian Rambo. The model of masculinity is Jesus Christ. So he is the one that we're trying to know and love and serve and become more and more like. And so becoming a man is really becoming more like Jesus.
You know, when you say that, so many kids, and I've spent my life in youth ministry and family ministry now, but so many kids had no idea how to be a man. And I remember a friend of mine named Randy Phillips, who was the president of Promise Keepers, used to always say, a man is not a man until his father tells him so. But yet, the truth is, a lot of dads don't teach their sons to be men.
Yeah, that's true. But one of the great things about the church is it's a new community where we, as a community of men, can impart that biblical masculinity to one another and to the next generation. And that's where we learn to be men. We learn to be men in the company of men. We learn to be godly men in the company of godly men. And that's why it's so important for men to have relationships with brothers in Christ that will encourage and support them.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I was talking before the broadcast, you and I were talking about every Tuesday, it happens to be today, we're doing this broadcast on a Tuesday. You know, I'm with some men. I've been with in small groups most of my adult Christian life. You know, I always say I'm a better husband and better father because I'm with these men, but sometimes it's hard because talking about pride, we were talking about pride earlier. You know, there's times when we're talking about almost confession or accountability issues. I want them to like me. I want them to be impressed. I want them to think that I don't have all the same issues that so many other men have. And it's been hard for me, and yet I've gotten over. I think I've overcome this over the years. You know, to be open and blunt. If a man is saying, "Yeah, I need to be in the company of men. I don't have that." Where do they start?
Every guy has a bag of stuff. You know, just all of our experiences and our fears and our secrets and, you know, and our sins, as the Bible says. And it's not until we can sit down with some other men in a certain openness, pull out our bag and start pulling the stuff out that's inside of it, that we really can enter into those deeper relationships that will encourage us and hold us accountable. And I guess the place to start is the local church, because that's the place where we learn to become followers of Jesus Christ and we're equipped to serve and represent Christ.
Right. I think a lot of men have pride issues, and maybe women do too, but you know, men have pride issues. Sometimes they will go to the local church and they'll make excuses about, you know, connecting with other men. Or they'll connect very lightly. They'll talk about sports. They'll talk about politics. How do they take that deeper step? If let's say the church doesn't have a group, do you go sit and have coffee with the man that you respect? Or, I mean, what do you do?
Well, I think that's probably a good suggestion. I have always been a believer in just, you know, go to the top, call the pastor and have an appointment with him and talk to him. And because as a pastor, every church is looking for men who will be servant leaders. I think most pastors would be blessed to have somebody visit their church and want to meet with them and talk to them and find out how they could grow in their relationship with the Lord, how they could become a more godly man and all of the above. So if it's not being offered by the church in terms of having a strong men's ministry to begin with, either find a church where that does happen or you be the pace setter and step out and start it yourself.
Now, I'm thinking of a woman who's listening to the broadcast going, oh, my husband needs this. I'm going to actually download this. I'm going to go online. We're going to go on iTunes. We're going to make this thing happen. My husband needs to hear this. What do you suggest to a wife whose husband does need to hear this and does need to get in the group? But, you know, he's kind of going, hey, look, no way. It's not even on my top 50 list, let alone your top one list for me.
Well, you know, we can't change anybody. You know, I can't change my spouse and they can't change me. But you can create a context where there's an interest level. So I would encourage a woman, one, to be praying for her husband. It'd be a great example herself of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And if they're part of a church that does provide some of these great masculine opportunities for men to connect, to let her husband know about it. It's one of the things that we, you know, we built our church really on that paradigm. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches that by their very nature and posturing and values, they are much more catered to impact women and have very little that appeals to men. But there are some churches out there, great churches, where men can connect, be discipled, and really become followers of Christ.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of men, what they have to understand is they don't have to have this deep, serious conversation the first time they go have coffee with somebody.
No.
You know, even this small group that I was talking about, you know, for the first year or so, I mean, we did Bible study, but we talked a lot about sports and politics.
Yeah, because we're real guys, you know, my congregation knows that about me because I pepper my messages with real-life illustrations.
Right.
But the reality is it's in the context of the relationship that life change happens. The Apostle Paul told us that in 1 Thessalonians 2. He said, we were well-pleased not to impart to you the gospel of God only, but our own lives because you became dear to us. So when there is life transference, that's when real change happens, And that's when the gospel most effectively gets translated, because it comes out of the context of a whole life.
Right, right. I've often found with guys, they'll say, I'm trying to tie in. I say, go fishing, go join the softball team, do something. Because guys don't like to necessarily just sit and have conversations.
And every community has their own kind of connection. You know, right. I was back in the South. My daughter's a student back at the University of Alabama. Man, those guys are into hunting and NASCAR.
Right,
back there.
Right.
But where I live, my church, all the guys love UFC. They love the fights.
Right.
So wherever the locale is, that's the kind of the cultural marker that you need to connect with.
Yeah, I see that. But yet, I'm going to announce this on radio because you're my friend. But you said when you went to Alabama with your daughter, you also had a pedicure. So that's a true man. I don't think I could do that with my daughter.
That's because I love my daughter, and she wanted to have her nails done, and so I joined in the experience with her.
Okay.
I didn't have my eyebrows waxed, though, I'll tell you that.
Okay, like Roger.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Listen, we don't have much time left, but I want you to unpack a statement. You said, when we are prideful, we make ourselves God's opponents.
Yeah. Well, that comes right out of the scripture. James chapter 4, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's when we humble ourselves before God and others that we become strong in God's grace. But when we kind of stiffen our necks and we harden our wills, then we are actually opposing God's grace and we are resisting God being able to change our lives. So pride becomes the biggest barrier for coming into a relationship with Christ and the biggest barrier for being able to grow as a Christ follower and defeat Goliath.
Yeah, it's very, very good. J.P. Jones with us. You got to come back, J.P. We've got to continue
this
conversation. Great to have you with us. He's the senior pastor. He's actually the founding pastor of a great church called Crossline Church. And the book that we're having this conversation from is called Facing Goliath, How a Man Overcomes His Giants to Follow Christ. Let me close with this, and then I'm going to take it over to Roger, and he can tell you more about the book. I was thinking about the story. It's a Sunday school story. For many of you who were raised in the Sunday school, you sure know the story of David and Goliath. And really what you've got is you've got a battle going on. You've got the Philistines on one hill. You've got the Israelites on the other hill. And at least in the modern version, it says they were paralyzed with fear. And that would be the Israelites, because Goliath was this big hunk of a man that basically said this. He said, if you send one person out to fight me and I win, then you'll be our slaves. You Israelites will be the slaves of the Philistines. If you win, then we'll be your slaves. And it says, the Israelites are paralyzed with fear. So shows up David. He was a harpist. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons. He's bringing food and kind of checking on what was not going on, no war. And he sees this happen, and he kind of had a more or less a righteous anger, and he went over to Saul and he said, I'll fight him. And my guess is they wanted the battle to get started, because Saul must have laughed that the harpist kid who takes care of sheep, who was the youngest, not even in the army, would volunteer. And so he put on some armor. Saul's armor, actually, and then he took it off real quick because it wasn't going to work, and he took 5 stones and he went out and he slew Goliath. You know the story. But there was a difference there. The Israelites looked at Goliath and said, he's so big, we can't win. And they were paralyzed with fear, and they didn't, for 40 days, they didn't fight him. But David's attitude was different. Same Goliath, same issue, but he said, he's so big, I can't miss. You get it? The difference. What David said is, with God's help, I can make a difference. And as we talk today about facing whatever your Goliath is, I want you to know that if you do it on your own, hey, you may miss. And sure, it's so big, you may not win. But if you look at it with God's help, it's so big, you can't miss, because God wants you to press through this. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but he does say he'll walk with you through this valley or whatever you're going through today.
That's right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death is what the psalmist reminds us of. And if you're facing one of these Goliaths right now, I want to encourage you, especially if you're a parent. We hear from a lot of parents here at Homeward who literally are just looking for a confidence boost. I mean, dealing with different issues with their kids and their spouses or possibly ex-spouses, and just saying, gosh, I don't know how to do this. I don't think I can. Dr. Jim Burns wrote a book called Confident Parenting. And the whole reason for writing the book was to say, look, you're doing a better job than you think you are, number one. Number two, you can be confident in your parenting. And third, if you are a confident parent, then you will demonstrate to your kids the love of God in a fresh new way for them that says, even when the storms hit, you're still going to have that kind of confidence that says, I'm trusting God. That's where my faith is. You can order a copy of Jim's book, Confident Parenting, directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We're a completely listener-supported broadcast, and we appreciate that financial support. Learn more about ordering Confident Parenting when you go to homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.